Welcome to Across the Park Podcast, the only place you can hear banter and debate weekly from both sides of Stanley Park, whether it be blue or red. Sponsored by Vare Clothing and Camper Kings Northwest.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number two this week of Across the Park Podcast. It's game on. Myself, Gary Judge, and Andrew Price representing the blue side. And that way, yeah, I've done it right, that way. Here we've got Phil and Terry representing the red side of the park. Quick one before we start, thanks to our clothing sponsors, Vare Clothing. And as you heard at the start, thank you to Camper Kings UK, not Northwest. Mills has got it wrong in the intro, so apologies for that, and we'll get that fixed next week. But thanks to our sponsors, as always. For those who are just tuning in for the first time to Game On, slightly different format to our other podcast, a little bit more lighthearted. As the name suggests, there'll be some quiz games related to Everton and Liverpool, and we'll also do a look back in history, so this week in history. So the Reds will be looking back to 2001-2002, which was their first ever Champions League campaign. The Blues will be looking back to 2011, when the Blue Union, or the Blue Onions, as I used to call them, were protesting to try and get Bill Kenwright out of the club. So we'll be looking at the context of that, and obviously, you know, where we are now compared to that moment in time. We will be starting first, I think, with a new quiz game. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, it's a new little game we're trialling. It's called How Well Do You Know Your Neighbour? So how it's going to work, I'm going to ask the Blues five questions about Liverpool that probably every serious Liverpool supporter would know quite easily, and vice versa. So the Blues get the first chance, and then Terry has a chance to come in and sweep up if they don't get it right. Hopefully Terry won't get it wrong.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I'll start with the red questions for the Blues. So question number one, how many FA Cups have Liverpool won? I'm looking for panic in Terry's face.
They're obviously up there. Have they won more than, I think
Arsenal are the most, aren't they? And like Tottenham and Chelsea have won a fair few as well.
They're probably all, I think Chelsea are quite in double figures, are they?
I wouldn't say Liverpool are in double figures.
I think they are.
Do you? FA Cups?
So yeah. If they're not, they're certainly very close. Saying that, no, maybe not. No, I don't think they are, actually.
I'd go eight. I think yeah. they've won about three in our lifetime.
We've got five. They probably won similar amounts as us going into the 90s, didn't they? Maybe six, maybe one more. Yeah, go on, I'll say eight or nine. Eight? She eight? One.
Go on, Terry, you'll be able to tell us.
Can you tell them?
I think it is eight. I think it is eight, and obviously League Cups, where the record holder in number of League Cups, which I think is 10 or 11.
You might be giving all the other answers away here. Lads.
Sorry. I think
Phil's quizzes aren't that good, Terry.
No, the answer is actually seven. So unlucky Blues, and Terry, you didn't sweep up. Okay, question number two. The great Ian Rush is obviously Liverpool's highest ever goal scorer. Well, who was second in the all-time goal-scoring list in all competitions for Liverpool?
Is that Billy Little, whose book was in? Who he was in the other week?
Could be, yeah. Could be.
I'm sure he was top three. Whether he was second, I don't know.
Who would be the other candidates? Fowler, Owen.
Did Dagley score many? I don't know.
Yeah, he scored a few. Like, I think he was up there. He wasn't as prolific, was he? Was probably a greater player than maybe a goal scorer. I don't know. I would probably say so. Do you want to go with that then? Go with your gut then, if you think that's probably quite topical, isn't it? Isn't the book coming out very soon? Or maybe
I think it's out already, isn't it? Is it? Go on then, say Billy Little. Just based on the fact we spoke to the author of his book.
Blues, unfortunately, you're not right, but it was a good guess. Billy Little's right up there. I think he is top three, actually. Certainly top four or five. But it's not Billy Little in number two. Terry, do you know?
Roger Hunt.
It is Roger Hunt. It is, yeah.
Didn't even mention.
No, I wasn't going to mention off us, yeah. It's way beyond our
generation. It's interesting, isn't it, to see what they know.
It's mad that he doesn't get a mention, though, because he's like, if you think about it,
legends, if you're talking about England, then you would resonate, because I'm obviously a bit more probably in touch with that side of it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is weird. It's a weird one. Okay, number three. Who is Liverpool's most expensive ever signing? But not only that, how much did Liverpool pay for him?
So is it, what do we get, two points for this?
No, you've got to get both for 1 point. Who is
Van Dijk, 75, isn't it?
Wasn't it? How much was Alisson?
Don't know.
I don't think he was as expensive as Van Dijk, though, yeah. 75 million Van Dijk.
Bingo. 75 million Van Dijk. Well done, boys. That's 1 out of 3.
But how much do we know? How much Alisson was? Alisson, like
65.
65, yeah.
I think, wasn't it? 64.
It was 65. Second most expensive signing. Okay. So who has made the most appearances in all competitions for Liverpool?
Sure, I was looking at this the other week when I was doing the Who Am I?
Is
that your answer?
I don't know, I'm just putting it out there. I feel like it's a goalie. It's only a goalie, isn't it?
Did he play in Europe a lot? I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Did he? I don't know. That's how much I know about Liverpool.
I feel like there's something telling me it's Ray Clements. Yeah. Go on.
A good guess, Judge. Definitely a good guess, but unfortunately, no cigar. Terry?
Is it Ian Callaghan?
It certainly is, yeah.
850-something appearances, is it?
857. Very good. Okay, and the last one. See if we can make it 2 out of 5. Who has scored the most goals in European competition for Liverpool?
I'd say Gerrard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Stephen Gerrard. It's surprising a little bit because you think about all the European Cups Liverpool won in the 80s, but you
just win Champions League.
Group games and all that, I was thinking.
Yeah. Gerrard scored 41 goals in 130. Salah's second with 31 in 50. And even the likes of Ian Rush is down in fifth place with only 20 in 38. But he's played well less games than even Salah, Ian Rush. Just shows you the difference in the competitions now.
Yeah.
Okay, Terry, we'll move to you.
So, what do we get there?
Two. Well, we've got Van Dijk, didn't we?
Van Dijk and Gerrard.
Van Dijk and Gerrard, yeah. Two out of five. Right, Terry, two to beat. Well, first Everton question, and you need all three here. I'm not asking for prices, just who are Everton's top three most expensive signings?
You need all three?
Yeah. No prices, though.
Has this, isn't it? Like, so I've got to name three. The top three.
We had to get the price, but it was fairly recent, weren't it? I mean, they're all going to be recent, aren't they?
I think it's not that hard to work out.
No. Richarlison must be up there.
No particular order, yeah.
Yeah, no particular order.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
2 out of 3.
And it would be the third. We also just wasted a load of money on.
That's a different question, though.
The Blues definitely know this.
I think I do.
Yeah, I think I do. I'm not 100% certain.
I'll confer with Pricey, though.
I've got a couple in my mind that I think like pay quite a fair bit for him.
I'm gonna have to push you for an answer, Terry.
We're on the clock here, Terry.
Michael Keane.
No, unfortunately, it's not him. Unlucky.
Blues. I'll go Obi.
Alex Obi, yeah.
It's
Lukaku.
Ooh.
Oh.
It wasn't. Lukaku was 28, wasn't he?
Yeah, 35.
I checked it, adding down as number three.
Yeah, that's right.
That's obviously being written by some blue, wants to Pretend he never signed Iwobi.
I'm sure Lukaku was 28 and Iwobi was 35.
Yeah, that's right. 28.
Lukaku was no more than 30. What have you got down for Lukaku? How much, Bill?
I didn't write the prices down.
Yeah, he wasn't more than 30. It was like something like 28.5 or something.
And Iwobi was 35.
Unless they've gone by like what we paid up front and it's rising to 35, I don't know.
I'll try and check when you're doing this week in history.
Any Blues can let us know then in the comments who's got it right.
So okay. What's that? So what am I on?
28 million.
It wasn't Michael Keane, but you're on none.
No. So
question number two: what was the biggest transfer fee ever received for an Everton player, and who was it?
I know this one.
The fee and the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been Lukaku, mightn't it? And how much did he go for? It would have been more than Rooney went for. Well, mind you, Rooney's was like, had like add-ons and all that, didn't he? So could it have ended up being Rooney with all the add-ons after not his initial fee? No, I'm going to say Lukaku, and I think it was about 45 million.
Was Lukaku, but he's quite a way off at the price, isn't he, Blues?
70, wasn't it?
75, wasn't it?
76. Was it that much, yeah?
Wow. Give you half a point there. Question number three.
Why?
It was quite hard.
He's already told them.
Three and get the player and the fee.
No, he didn't have to get the player in the fee. He just had to get the player in the other one.
To be fair, though, Terry, if you were paying attention, the Blues answered one of the questions in the previous round. So you've got a bit of a gimme there. So question three, who has made the most appearances ever in Europe for Everton?
It's got to be single digits, that. Who's made the most European appearances for Everton?
I was surprised.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an unusual one.
God. I can't think whether it'd be like an older player or whether it'd be a current player with like UEFA Cup appearances and stuff, Europa League. I'm possibly going to say...
Say it on the right line, Seri, I think.
This might sound mad because I don't really think of Everton like being in Europe loads during our sort of time, but for the time he was around the club and that, I think maybe possibly like Baines or something, Leighton Baines.
Probably a good guess.
I'd go Osman, mate. Who would you go, Judge?
I'd go Osman, but I'd probably lean towards, again, with your appearances, probably Tim Howard, you know, because goalies just, like Osman might have dropped out the odd games, you know what I mean, towards the end of the groups, whereas Tim Howard, I can't think of any.
Was he there in Europe for that?
Yeah, he was
in Europe.
When we were in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
It'd be Osman or Howard, like, but I'd probably lean towards Howard, or, you know, Baines would be in the mix, but I'd lean towards Howard.
Go ahead if you want, Howard.
The answer is... Tim Howard.
Yeah, right.
An must impressive have been 28 European appearances.
Well, in Judge.
Yes.
Question number four. The great Dixie Dean is obviously Everton's highest ever goal scorer, but who is second in the all-time scoring list in all competitions?
I think I know. I'm pretty certain I know this.
I won't ask you how many.
I don't know. I'm going to just sort of throw an 80s player out on the off chance. Hello, Graham Sharp or something.
Well done.
It is Graham Sharp. 59 goals. So that's one and a half for you, Terry. Your chance to win it with the last question. How many FA Cups have Everton won? Judge gave the answer.
I know. Nothing out of all.
I can't remember what he said now, though.
We have to date as well, hasn't he, if we've already given him how many?
he's not having that half point, though. That's snide, that.
Did you say five?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Oh, a controversial result. It is five. Has Terry won by 2.5-2?
Do we I'm need not having that half point. That's no.
Listeners, you decide who won.
Really
that's it for how well do you know your neighbour? Apparently not very well.
Yeah, well done. We are going to move into This Week in History. Before we do, just you know, massive commiserations to Gary Stevens and his family. He lost his son, unfortunately, in the last 24 hours. So, again, to all the Stevens family, you know, our hearts go out here and horrible loss for everyone. Moving on, we'll start with the Blues. We start with the Blues. So, Pricey, with This Week in History, we're going to take it back to 2011, which... despite the fact David Moyes was at the helm at the time and was doing his very best, we had protests, well, fairly significant protests this time 10 years ago from the Blue Union, who were heading the way in terms of trying to get most of the board removed, in particular trying to get Bill Kenwright to sacrifice his shares and ultimately sell the club. We'd just gone through a summer, and I've lost my notes on this one, but I'll have to rely on my memory. We've just gone through a summer where we'd lost Mikel Arteta, Yakubu, with two of the names, can't remember the third, and we brought in Strachwalesi, James McFadden for a second stint at the club, and someone else as well.
Drenthe.
Droyston Drenthe on loan. Yeah. It was a little bit more exciting, but again, it was a bit of a...
it was a loan, wasn't it? So it wasn't a
normally paid. It was a tough time, obviously, financially for Moyes and for the club in general. What do you remember back at that time? And I know we're gonna embarrass Millsy slightly as well, but just from your perspective, what was your memory of that time?
I remember we were doing well, and we wanted to push on to that next level. And as you say, it was the players we were selling didn't seem like the money was going back into the squad itself, particularly the Arteta money. So it was frustrating that it wasn't going back into the squad. So you understood why people weren't happy with it. When they were directing against Kenwright, though, I mean, the way I remember it, Everton were always trying to fight above the station. So we were always trying to pay off debts that Kenwright inherited, and he was always trying to do his best to balance the books as well. So the anger at Kenwright, I never really sort of understood why they were so desperate for him to sell. Because he made it clear he was trying to sell, it was up for sale, he couldn't get the right buyer in, and it was like that for years, and other clubs had sold to you know, businesses and people and just gone under the pan. So I think I never really understood why people were so desperate just to sell. That was the thing. It wasn't that there was somebody there waiting to buy, it was just that they just wanted to sell, and that was it. So I never really got that. But it was frustrating. I remember it being frustrating that we were bringing in these loan players after selling players for decent money. But I was never one. I mean, I know Millsy was front and centre of that match, but I was never one to go along with that one. I don't know about you.
No, similar, to be honest. Obviously, when you're in the ground and you've kind of, we've just gone through a game where we're bringing like no one off the bench, and it's like we've got no depth in the squad and we're lacking quality and all that. You know, you'd have a little rant about it in the pub after it, wouldn't you? You'd be going, oh, we need money and whatever, and we need some back. And looking back to some of the interviews which I've looked at, which Kenwright was involved in, or I think there was quite a big one that the Blue Union has actually held with Kenwright, where he was talking about, listen, we haven't got, there's no broker that's got exclusivity on this deal. We're allowing everyone to look for a buyer. So it wasn't like he was closing the door and saying, I'm only dealing with my mates, or I'm only speaking to this person. It was allowing all the major banks and brokers and investors to go and look for anyone who was willing to put an offer forwards. He actually told a story about two people that I think Keith Harris had brought to the table. One of them was like, you know, a hedge fund manager, and someone else was involved in this Dubai investment group. And when Kenwright, like, they were about to sign heads of terms for a sale, and Kenwright smelt a rat and done some, you know, additional extra investigations into them. And the fella who was claiming he was a hedge fund manager for ICI was actually some nomad who lived in a one-bed flat in Liverpool. So ICI didn't even know who he was. And then this other fella who claims he was from Dubai lived in Manchester with his mum.
Would have been proper heaven if we sold it to them, no.
Yeah, no. And ironically, some of the other context behind it is another club that had got sold around the same time was Blackburn to the Venkies
on it, yeah.
We all know what happened there. I think Hughes, I don't know if it was the first, the John Henry sale or whatever, but I think it was not long after that, or maybe just before it, that Hughes were either sold to the FSG or the original American owners. I say the original American owners, they were the debt kind of shifters, weren't they, as opposed to owners. Just lost Phil for a moment there. But yeah, in terms of my memory of it, yeah, similar to yours, Pricey, I felt a bit sorry for Ken Wright. He was, you know, he was the man who was always, you know, because he had the shares and he had the majority of the shares at that time, he was the person who was shouldering all the blame. But there was loads of people involved in trying to sell the club at the time. There was Amanda Staveley was about, Keith Harris, as I've just mentioned then. Robert Earle actually took Paul Gregg's shares, and there used to be a lot of questions about him. Robert Earle was the man who bought Stallone over.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was the fella who was one of the
but that was a big argument for that was a big talking point for ages. Why isn't he putting any money in, wasn't it? Why is he on the board or whatever if you're not putting the money in?
He was a marketeer, I think Bill Kenwright claims, and then you know the criticism was, well, what's he actually done apart from that Rocky thing? That was it, do you know what I mean? Which ends up being a bit of a No, it was funny, but it was a bit embarrassing, wasn't it? to say the least. But no, obviously the benefit of hindsight now, you know, in the end, is patience and his perseverance and, you know, his diligence, Ken Wright, of not wanting to sell to just anyone. You know, it was the right thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it proved it. And I think he's one's the biggest example. But it proved eventually when we did get Machiri and he'd waited and he seemingly got the right man who had a few bob behind him. So, yeah, I don't think you can blame him, but... Fun times, well, horrible times then when we were, because we weren't failing on the pitch either. It was like we weren't pushing on to the next level because we had a decent manager. I think that was the frustration. We all knew we had a good manager and we all knew with a couple of additions we'd push on even more and we just never. So, it's one of them, weren't it?
Yeah, apologies to anyone who was past the Blue Union, by the way. I wasn't mocking you, calling you the Blue Onions. It was just I wasn't in your gang, so he has to come up with this little skit name for you. But yeah, it was. I just felt like it was just people just moaning for it because they wanted to, do you know what I mean? To moan.
Yeah.
I get it. And like we say,
I think fair play, people having a go and trying to change stuff and trying to push it. What I didn't understand was just the Ken Wright seller seemingly for any, you know, to anyone. That's the one thing I didn't understand about it.
Well, that's the thing as well. When I look back at that interview, which took place a few months before the Nova went and the actual march and protest with they'd had with Ken Wright, they were actually saying in the interview, look at Blackburn. Blackburn's been sold. Look at them now. And it was like, obviously, Ken Wright at the time couldn't say it was right or wrong. He was just saying, well, I can't, you know, I can't comment on that. I'm not Blackburn. I don't know how they sold or who the, you know, what the owners, new owners are like. But that's obviously looking back in time is a little bit of
hindsight, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. But so moving on, but Phil's obviously left the studio. So yourselves, Teddy, 2001, 2002, your first stint in the Champions League. I know I was saying off air that I remembered you playing the previous season, I think, against a really good Barcelona side in the UEFA Cup, and I think you met them again in the Champions League that season.
Yeah, it was November the 20th, 2001, 2002 season, our first season under the revamped Champions League format. Obviously, you know, we know our European pedigree when it was the European Cup, but that was the first season that we were back in the Champions League. And as you say, we played Barcelona the year before in the UEFA Cup. You know, it was a famous win. But then we got through the first group in the Champions League, and then it used to have a second group stage, and that group that we had, it was deemed a group of death. It was Barcelona, Roma and Galatasaray. You know, really, really tough group. And I think it was the first group game. The first or the second group game. Barcelona came to Anfield, and you know, it was one of them. I think after the season before, you know, we'd won the treble, the trophy, like obviously cup competitions and stuff. We were riding high. We were thinking, you know, we're back in the big league, in the Champions League, and you know, we're welcoming Barcelona to Anfield. And funnily enough, it was a bit of a hide, and I think it was a bit of a reality check, you know, just in terms of like where we were on. In terms of, like, you know, Europe at that time. Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I remember the game, and I remember us going, we went ahead. I think it was Michael Owen scored the goal, and we actually got quite a few chances. You know, Heskey had a couple of chances where he had to put them in because of being two or three up, you know, before Barcelona scored. Owen had another one that went just wide, a little dink over the keeper, went just wide. But once Barcelona found their groove, it was a pretty sumptuous attack and football and display from them, to be honest. You know, I think the first goal was Rivaldo. It was like a boss little flick that he takes it over, Honcho.
Player
falls and there to slot it past Dudek, and then the second goal was another one got laid off to I think it was Rochenbach, and he proper bends in an absolute peach. You know, when you just, it was one of them games where I think the fans were just like, you know, this is proper football. I'm watching here from Barcelona, some real sort of, you know, lovely stuff that they were putting together. And then they ended it with a goal, which, if I remember rightly, I'm sure it was something like 30 or 40 passes before it. And then Overmars gets slipped through times. It runs so well. He was so quick anyway, wasn't he? And he just runs beyond and just puts it in. And it was one of them games where, as I say, I think, you know, from a Liverpool perspective, it was boss to be back in the Champions League. And we did get out that group, you know, by the skin of our teeth, in all honesty, because we were relying on other results. But that game, it was a bit of a reality check. And no, it was one of them games where the Liverpool fans got, you know, we see it a lot in the press, you know, that Liverpool fans are knowledgeable and, you know, give us a lot of credit for, like, the way that we treat opposition, like, sort of teams. Barcelona got clapped off the pitch. Clive got a standing ovation. I think he got took off at about 5 or 10 minutes to go, and he got a standing ovation because that's how good they were.
They were brilliant. They were brilliant, yeah. That team, that Barca team.
Yeah.
Was Rijkaard the manager? Rijkaard the manager of those?
Yeah, he was.
I think it was Rijkaard at the time, yeah. Right. But then, you know, you look at the team and say Clive, Rivaldo, Overmars, you know,
yeah,
Luis Enrique was playing for them. You know, it was just a really, really good side at the time. And obviously, they were the foundation, really, weren't they, of basically the side that Pep inherited and obviously, you know, strengthened even more. But no, it was one of them. Have you got many memories of that now that you've joined us, Phil?
I'm sure you've covered it all, but was that the game where Rivaldo hit the bar from about 40 yards? He come back and played against us from Olympiacos, and sometimes...
I don't remember him in the bar in that game against Bar. There was a couple... Like,
I don't think Barca were allowed to shoot from more than 30 yards, to be honest.
Yeah. But he was brilliant on the night. He was one of my favourite players, Rivaldo. You know, when we were growing up, I used to watch him and just be like, oh, he's so good. Weird, really, that he never sort of ended up with that same sort of status as some of the players around that time.
I think some of it's got to do with the fact he kind of disgraced himself in the World Cup.
Yeah, in the World Cup, yeah.
There's also a broadcasting element to it, isn't it? We didn't get the luxury to watch every single, like, Spanish game at that time and stuff. You know, some of the stuff he was probably doing in the more bang average games, you know, week in, week out, was just like... So I think it's probably that element as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was one of them games where, you know, a bit of reality check, but we got out the group and it was a funny one. Like, you know, I was talking to Phil about it before. It was that group. There's loads of little sort of quirky stories from that campaign, you know, and the one that sort of always reminds me, as I say, we were in the group with Galatasaray, and it's the banner. You remember the banner, Phil? Welcome to hell at their ground. They called their grounds hell, and it was always a tough place to go, weren't it, for away teams. And they had the banner that the Liverpool fans who took the banner said, welcome to hell. If you think this is hell, my arse, go to the Grafton on a Friday night. You know, and it was one of them banners that, like, I think now is like immortalized, you know, like everyone just sort of remembers it.
But
we ended up going out in that campaign, actually, didn't we, to buy a Leverkusen, who obviously went on to the final and got beat by Real Madrid.
I remember that sort of, you know, when you're sort of younger and it's everything to you. I remember the heartbreak of that game, and one of my favorite players had scored to make it 4-1 against Leverkusen, Jari Litmanen. So that would have been the winning goal, or the goal that saw us through. It was a goal difference thing how we went out. They actually scored to make it 4-2. It was Lucio right in the last minute. And the fact we only won 4-2 put us out.
Yeah, I say it was a reality check, but, you know, about where we were in terms of, like, you know, at the time, European sort of pedigree, but to go out to the eventual finalists, you know what I mean? It wasn't actually the worst campaign, really, was it, when you think about it that way? But on the night of Barcelona, it was a bit of a lesson.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, as I say, it was this week in history in 2001-2002.
Okay, on to you, I think, Pricey.
Yeah, Sam.
Just want to say massive congratulations to one of the Blues, Millsy. His wife gave birth to their second child on Sunday, was it? Sunday?
Saturday night, yeah.
So congratulations to Millsy, little girl. So looking forward to welcoming him back to the show next week, I think.
Hopefully, yeah, sent us a picture of her in a first Everton kit yesterday as well.
Straight away.
Already, yeah. Funny. Straight away, 3 days born, and she's in a first Everton kit. It's all good, isn't it?
Confined to a life of children.
Yeah. Right, I will do who am I? So I've got Everton player and Liverpool player. I'll ask five facts about the player, each getting easier with every fact, hopefully. So the Reds will try and have a go at answering a red, and then the Blues will have a go. And Judge will have a go at. Yeah, there's a red.
Reds answer the red, blue answer the
red. Reds answer the red, blue answer the blue. And hopefully, if they can get it within five, all good, and they get a point. If not, the other side can have a go. So I'll do the red first for the Reds. So I've got a difficult one and an easy one. So I'll only do one. So I'll go for the easier one, hopefully. So this person.
Is this a red for the blue?
This is a red for the red. The Reds go to the red, don't they?
Yeah, with
yeah, them on my
red. Yeah. So this player was signed by Roy Evans, and he never won any silverware.
Could be one of many.
Yeah. So that's the first clue. Two clues. He made three appearances for England.
Okay, I'm just thinking. We had Rob Jones last week, didn't we? But he's the type of player who...
Yeah, but if he got signed by Evans, yeah, they got signed and left before 95, or he got signed after 95, but Evans was only there till, what was it, 99, was it? Well, 98, 99. So he's either been signed after 95, or he's been and 96. Gone before.
Yeah. I think I know who this person is.
Three England caps.
Yeah, three England caps, yeah.
I think I know who this person is.
Ready for the next one?
Go on.
Yeah. He ended his career with Real Oviedo.
So when Ule come in, a few of them went over there to Spain. Steve Harkness is a possibility. He went to Portugal, didn't he? He went to Portugal.
Before that, anyway, yeah.
He was there for 96 anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah. Three England caps, went to Spain. Okay, not on spring into mind yet. Real Oviedo.
When Liverpool signed him, it was for a British record transfer fee.
What the hell?
My guess is gone.
Okay, that's John Scales.
I can give you
six.
That was really my guess.
Not John Scales. I can give you the price as a sort of it. I can give you the fee as a sort of an extra thing. But I think you'll get it if I give you the fee, to be honest.
Hang on. That wasn't a guess, John Scales. I was just talking to Terry.
I'm sure Scales signed on the soonest.
What about Stan Collymore? Did he play for England?
Yeah.
I think he did, didn't he?
Maybe more than three caps then.
Yeah, definitely.
We signed him for 8.5 million. It was a club transfer record. Yeah. Actually, no. My first game was New Year's Day, 1996. I think it
Bill,
was.
Bill, this isn't about you.
Collymore scored two. So that means he was there for the FA Cup final, doesn't he?
So I'll give you the last clue.
Oh, we didn't win.
We didn't win. 96, 95 was the League Cup.
Yeah,
was what I was saying.
Yeah, it's Collymore.
Famously went out with Ulrika Johnson.
Played more than three games for England.
Yeah,
three appearances for England. Yeah, I'm had that in there.
Yeah,
and at first I was thinking Julian Dix. I was thinking John Scales. And then
Dix was a Souness sign as well, I think.
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
Probably was, yeah.
Well done, Phil. Phil got after four.
Collymore, did you say he ended up at Real Oviedo?
Yeah, ended his career at Real Oviedo. So you all thought that I said he signed from Liverpool to Real Oviedo. Yeah. That's not what I said, is it?
I thought, what?
I'm always listening to the question.
By the way, everyone, these two intermissions, do you know how to listen to a question?
Right, Everton 1 to the Everton fan. Played for Everton between 2004 and 2011.
Okay, so it's
okay.
So it's Enzo Moyes, starting Martinez. Go on.
Played a total of 60 times for Everton, but only made 8 league starts and scored 9 goals.
What? Sorry, played 60 times.
Played a total of 60 times for Everton, but only made 8 league starts. And in total, he scored 9 goals.
So he's a striker who'd come off the bench quite a bit. A kind of Joe Max Moore-esque, but obviously later.
How many appearances over like 8 years? Was it 8 years?
Oh, he's obviously a sub, weren't he? Coming off the bench a lot. Okay, go on.
Finished his career at Tranmere Rovers.
There's a few who finished their career at Tranmere Rovers in the generation before, like Rydhouse and bloody Stuart Barlow and that, but finished the career at Tranmere. Could have been a goal. No, couldn't be a goalie. Who wants a Tranmere?
Impressive 9 and 8 for a goalie.
Yeah, it wouldn't be anyway. Goalie's making like 54 subs.
Bringing your keeper on last 10 just to shore it up.
Off of David Moyes stuff, that.
Yeah.
Too my last guess.
Yeah, I'll give you one. Yeah, if you want to have it.
I can't say the name now.
Give no.
You've got 5 chances.
All right.
Okay. Scored his first Premier League goal before he signed a professional contract.
Okay, so he's come through as a...
I think I know who it is.
Do you know it, Terry? All right, fair enough.
James Vaughan. James Vaughan, is it? James Vaughan surely started more than 6 games. Is it Vaughan?
Started 8 league starts.
8 league starts?
Yeah, 60 times. It played 60 games in total.
Scored 9 goals.
Is it James Vaughan then?
Is that what you're saying, Teddy? You're saying someone different? Someone different. So he is still the Premier League's youngest ever goal scorer.
Oh, I know.
So it is James Vaughan. Well done, Judge. Who was you going for, Terry?
I thought it might have been Gosling.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I don't know.
How many Gosling scores?
We signed him as a pro, though, from Plymouth.
Yeah, he came. He didn't come through the ranks. Got us Gosling. Sorted. Done. 1-0.
Aren't you surprised? He only started 6 league games. That's mad, that.
8 league starts.
8, or even 8. Yeah, that's nothing, is it?
No.
What did he do after?
Injured loads, really. Right?
Yeah, he was.
He went to like Birmingham and just kept going down the leagues then.
But again, never played that many games for anyone. Oh. He probably played more games for Tranmere in the end than he did for us. Mm-hmm.
Just dead injury prone. It was a shame because he was a good player when he used to play.
Yeah, he was.
So that wraps it up. 1-1. Are we having a tiebreaker, are we? We'll leave it at that. 1-1.
No, that's it. And I think that concludes game on for us. So again, thanks everyone for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. It does make a difference to us. Numbers have gotten a little bit slow on the subscriptions over the last few weeks. We are flying and we've slowed down a bit. So please subscribe if you haven't already. And yeah, back in action this weekend, both clubs. So next week we'll be both reviewing games and preview games. Look forward to having you on the next show. Take care.